All right. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but I'm glad to be here. Somebody told me I need to start exercising. They must have thought I needed to live a long time. They said exercising will make you feel better and live longer. Well, I don't feel no better. I don't know about living longer, but I hurt all over. So anybody that tells you exercise will make you feel better, that must be a propaganda thing or something. I don't know. Maybe in about 7-8 more months I'll feel better about what I did today. When I'm doing better then. Because they say the more you do it, the better you get at it. Well, that's kind of like being saved and being born again and being a Bible believer. Is the more you do it, the better at it you get. Or the more we study, the more we should be able to do the right things. I'm going to be in Romans chapter 12. And some people would take this verse to just beat the folks up. Because they would say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then they would put themselves up at this high standard and look down at the folks and say, until you reach my standard, you haven't done that. And I don't want to go there. That's not what I'm trying to say this morning. That's not where I'm even at this morning. I'm not thinking there's anybody here that's not at a standard or where they ought to be. Because let's read the rest of this thing and see just what God has to say about these things. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace which is given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Wait a minute. Everybody didn't get exactly the same thing. And we're going to see that as we go on here. Because everybody wasn't brought up to be a pastor. Everybody wasn't brought up to be a deacon. Everybody's not going to be a Sunday school teacher. Everybody's not going to be a person of faith. I mean, of works and tongues and these different things that go on, and we're going to understand that tongues have probably and most likely gone away unless you're a translator of some kind of language into another language. In fact, when you read that thing, they said every man heard in their own language what they were born in. So when they were hearing these tongues, they heard people speaking in the language they were born in, not some jibber jabber about tie you or something like that that just goes on and on until I can teach you how to say something that you ain't going to say. Then it says, For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the portion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or on our teaching, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kind, affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor perfecting one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Dear Heavenly Father, we again come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we say, Lord, help us with these verses. Help us to dissect them and work on them and to pull them out and to see what we would be doing with these things. Help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to lift each other up. Help us to strengthen each other. This is about edifying the church and not tearing it down. And Lord, we praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God. Not by the whoop you up or the beat you up, but by the mercy of God. And he's full of mercy. He's full of great mercy. In fact, think about it. He saved a bunch of hell-deserving sinners. So if when we look at each other, we ought to understand where we came from, what pot we were got out of, and not to look down on folks and say, well, I was of the higher whatever. No, I was a hell-deserving sinner. I don't care what you want to look at it. I deserve to be in hell. I deserve to be there because I'm a sinner. And so does every other believer. They were supposedly sinful. They were wicked. They were undone, and they deserved the condemnation they were under until Christ called them out of darkness. It says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, that means that, first of all, I don't look at how you're doing your business or how you're doing your business. I have to present myself. My service. What am I doing? Now, I'm going to use me as the example here, but you can put yourself in there. Are you presenting yourself in these things? I don't know. I don't go follow you around all day long, and neither would you want me to. Of course, I ain't got time for that. And you ain't got, you might have time to follow me around, but if you do, you got more time than I got. But it says here to present your bodies. Not just this framework here, but our hearts and our souls and our minds. So if we're presenting all of us to God as a reasonable sacrifice, that means, are we doing our Christian duty? Are we studying our Bible? Are we coming to services? Are we doing the things that we need to do that would be presentable and acceptable as a reasonable service? Now, I can't tell you what your reasonable service is. That's between you and God where you forgot your reasonable service. But it says here, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, not to beat you up, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, I should try to work and walk in that conversation where when people talk to me, they don't hear wrong words and bad words and put you down on things and tear people up and stories and backbiting and all those things that we're not supposed to be doing. So if I'm doing my reasonable service, I'm not going to be tearing folks down, but I'm going to be trying to lift folks up. I'm going to be trying to bring them up and make them... I'm the one who needs to be brought up over y'all. Y'all are higher than me. If you remember in Philippians chapter 2, I think you guys are better off and higher than me. So if I'm looking at you guys being higher than me, I'm the lowest person in this building, then I can't tear you up for what you're not doing. I'm just saying, my reasonable. I need to be holy. Holy means that I need to be set apart for the service of God. And we just learned about the Baptist, where we come from and what we are. The reason they were Baptist, the reason they were Anabaptist, is they were separated from the world as people know it out there. We didn't do shady deals. We were the ones that got people got, well, brother, we could cheat a little bit on our taxes here and we'd be all right. No, sir, we're going to pay the taxes because that's what it says we got to do. Now, we need to stay away from being joined up with the government. We need to stay away from being joined up, as we just talked about. We don't want to receive money from the government so they have their thumb on top of us to do things with. We need to be separated. We need to be different. We need to be holy, not only holy as separated from the government, we need to be separated from the world itself. Whatever the world's used to doing, the way they talk, the way they walk, the way they act, they could go around using the Lord's name in vain all day long and they think nothing of it. We don't need to be there. We don't need to get caught up in that where they use Jesus anytime they have a bad moment hops up. You hear the word Jesus pop out. I want to use the word, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, God. But not as in, I stubbed my toe, Jesus. That's the way the world does it. when they say the word God and some other words behind that, they're not lifting up God. They're bringing down what they think is a God, and they're destroying that. But I want you to understand that every vain word they speak, God's going to bring it into remembrance one day. It says here, present myself holy, acceptable unto God. That means, first of all, I got every day when I get up, I got to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I messed up again. Lord, I need to get right again. Lord, to be acceptable unto you, I have to be able to come to you and say, I need to be cleaned up, washed up, and done up. Not rebaptized. That was what we did when we got saved and joined the church. But to be cleaned up, as Jesus says, you don't need to have but your feet washed. See, every day I need to remember my feet need to be washed. I have walked through this world out here, stepped in all this stuff out here, and some of it's going to try to stick onto me, and I need to say, God, forgive me. Wash me up, clean me up, get me back in the right frame of mind, which is my reasonable service. He doesn't tell us to go out and whip the world. He doesn't tell us to go out and win a nation. He tells us to do our reasonable service. Reasonable means should be easy, should be the thing that just comes natural. You've been born again. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus. We ought to be ecstatic about being around His people. We ought to be ecstatic about reading His book. We ought to be ecstatic about listening to preaching. We ought to be ecstatic about singing the songs of God, because He has born us again from above. He has pulled us out of that pit. He has set us on the rock. Man, we got all kinds of things to get excited, and that's just our reasonable service. He didn't tell us to sell everything we got. I know in Acts they did those things, but He in nowhere tells us to sell everything we got, go live in some commune somewhere. We could still enjoy all kind of the luxuries of life and still do the reasonable service. It says, and be not conformed to this world. He pulled us out of this world. He pulled us out of what we used to be. He pulled us out of being dead. He pulled us out of needing to be quick, and He pulled us out of the walk that we were in when we walked just like they do. Now He says, be not conformed to them. Don't go back to walking and talking and being like you used to. Don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you going to get your mind renewed if you're never hearing anything? If you're never reading anything? You're never studying anything? Study is not easy. And I'll tell you what, the devil will do it to you almost every time. You go somewhere and try to read your Bible somewhere alone, and you'll go to sleep. You'll go to sleep. You can watch a movie all night long, you might go to sleep, but you start reading through the Scripture, and you'll fall asleep. Because the devil just don't want you to study it. It says, be conformed not to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. The renewing, he talked about a while ago, that they had Baptist schools, Baptist colleges. I guarantee you right now, if you went back to all those colleges that he just named, hardly any of them would stand up to what we preach in this book right here. Most of them say, oh, we can't do that, man. The government will do this, the government that, they'll run us, they'll shut this place down. Well, praise God, shut her down. Those people were formed on Baptist doctrine. Those places were formed on telling the truth, learning the truth, doing the truth. And now they're all about football and you name it, sports and everything else, and lying and cheating and niggling things around. He said, but be transformed by the renewing mind. The only way to be renewed in the mind is you got to talk to God. You got to get in the book. And then when the book gets tough, you say, God, help me. Show me. Teach me. Learn me. Help me with my mouth. Help me with my eyes. Help me with my ears. Help me with my walk. God, I need you to make me where I'll be able to do these things. It says here, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I'm going to prove what's good and acceptable and perfect will of God, I've got to find out what that is. What does God want? What does God expect of me? What does God want me to be like? Does He want me to be around God's people? No brainer there, right? Shouldn't we be around God's people? Shouldn't we be happy to be around God's people? In fact, it says, not forsaking the assembling of as fellowship as others do. In other words, we ought to be glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here because I know that people in this building believe the same thing about the Bible I do. They believe that God's in charge. They believe that God is sovereign. They believe that God saves whom He will. Not somebody coming up and just making a decision somewhere, but God saves whom He will. He calls them out of darkness on His own. He has, before the foundation of the world, chosen to do so on His own. He will do His own will and purpose and plan. It says here, so for me to find out what the perfect will of God is, first of all, I got to say, what does God say about what He does? What does God say about how He works? Because we sang a while ago, standing on the promises. First of all, God says, I'm immutable. I don't change my mind. First of all, it says, I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Do you believe those things? I will harden whom I will harden. Do you believe those things? Because if you don't believe it like it's wrote, I have to say you don't believe the Bible. I mean, some people would tell me, well, brother, God don't work like that. I said, no. God works exactly like this. I may not get it right. I may mess it up. But God has always worked just like He says here. He saves whom He will, and whom He will harden. And if I don't preach it that way and I don't mean it that way, then which page next do I tear out? Because if I keep tearing out the things that God don't do, pretty soon there's nothing in there that He does do. It's all about us. Us doing it. Well, my Bible says God did it. In the beginning, God. And it says, in verse 3, if I get there. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, there's always somebody out there who knows more about this stuff than I do. If I think that I've become the authority on everything God said, I need to step back and say, whoa, Charlie. There's somebody out there that could teach me something somewhere, always. But when he says not to think more highly of himself, may not necessarily mean in what the Bible says, but in the fact that I look down on other folks and say, look at those guys. They ain't like me, Lord. They don't fast twice a week. They don't do all this good stuff I do. They ain't it. Look at him. He's just this. Boy, if I don't watch out, I could be just like that guy. The one who's looking out at everybody and says, boy, do you know what you say? Did you see those people? No. Lord, I'm thankful that you saved these people. I'm thankful that you put these people in the family of God. I'm thankful that you put these people in this church. Every man among which think himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly. The fact is that God is the one that grows the church. We could always do like the other guys say, well, we need a program or this, that, and the other. But programs don't do nothing but bring in a bunch of lost people who want to take over things. We need to preach the Bible. We need to preach God sovereign. We need to preach Jesus Christ saves. And let God add to the church. It says, I don't want to think more highly than I ought to think, but to think soberly according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, I need to look out here and say, everybody didn't get the same. Now, we all got saved by the same faith. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But every man didn't get the same gifts. Every man didn't get the same amount of this or that, because every man is not at the same growth level. Some of you guys got way more growth level than I got. Y'all been in this a long time. Y'all been studying this stuff a long time. So while we understand that there's some folks who know a lot and there's some folks who know a little, the ones who know a lot need to look down at the little ones and say, man, what's wrong with y'all? Why ain't you got it? No. We ought to be just keep teaching and keep preaching and keep praying that the ones who got this start coming on up. Even maybe some of them might even pass us up. Praise the Lord if they do. I want everybody to grow as much as they can grow. I want everybody to get all they can get. For as we have many members, that's all of you guys and me, we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So when we start looking down at people, we've got to understand God puts people in the way God wants them in here. Everyone that's a member of this church has a purpose. Everyone that's a member of this church has a thing that God has got them in here to do. Everyone in here, God has a plan to use. So there's no way that any one of us could look at somebody and say, what's he need them for? Or what's he need that one for? No, God has placed every single person in this church for a plan and a purpose to work out all the things that the body has to do. Believe me, you can't run if you ain't got feet. So, ain't no way I can look down and say, I don't need my feet. Nope, you can't run without feet. You can't scratch good without your fingers. I mean, some days I wish they were longer because I could reach farther back. But you need every part. Your eyes. You're getting old like me, them eyes ain't quite as good as that dog out there, a deer out there. I got to look real good. But we need our eyes to be able to see with. Our ears. We need them, and we need them working the right way. But this is not about what's in Corinthians on the parts of the body. But this is every person is placed in the church. Every member is in the church. All members do not have the same office in the church. It says here, so we being many are one body. So, when we're all together, every single member is in this building, the whole body's in here together. That means if we're not all here together, then the whole body's not here all together. That's just what it says. But when we're all here, and I'm hoping we're all here next week, I really do, as a 100% yay we're for this thing or whatever, because that would be a good lifter-upper. But it says here, for as many are one body in Christ, so being many, all of us, we are one body in Christ. Not in this church as a building, not in this Baptist thing, but we are one body in Christ. Everything we do is about being in Christ. And every member, one of another. In other words, it's my duty to pray and care for you. It's your duty to pray and care for me. I mean, I even heard some cheering going on this morning when I was exercising. You got it. You can make it. You can do it. That's the same kind of thing we need to do for each other. You got it. You can make it. You can do it. Come on. Come on. Don't quit. Don't stop. Come on. Let's get it going on. I never made that last 2 minutes. But it says here, we are all members and all members one of another. In other words, there's not one of us that we could do without. There's not one of us that we could say, well, I wish that one wasn't here, or I don't need them, or this ain't going on right. They just messing this up. No, everyone was in here for a purpose and a plan by God to do the things we do. Having then gifts different. Hello. Everybody doesn't get the same gifts. Everybody doesn't get called to go to the old folks' home. And that's a great ministry. That's a good ministry. Everybody don't get called to go to a jail. Good ministries. Everybody don't get called to be a witness at a work spot someplace. Everybody don't get called to go down to Walmart and just walk around and say, hey, I like y'all. Everybody don't get that, but some people do. Everybody gets their own gift, their own calling, their own thing to do that they can lift up Jesus Christ with. It says, and having gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. So therefore, I can't look at what you're doing and say, brother, you need to pick it up, step it up, you ain't quite getting there. No, it's according to the gift of grace which God has given you. I am not the judge over how well you do your gift. That's between you and God. That's between you and God, whether you bring it up or keep it down. I'm not your judge in this thing. But I'll pray for you if you need me to. I'll help you if you need me to. Whatever it takes. But I'm not here to tell you, well, if you just do it this way. No. No. That's your ministry. That's God give you that thing to do. God will lead you and guide you. And if you need us to pray for you or help you or whatever, we'll be glad to help you. But we're not going to try to take it away from you because God gave it to you. It says, the Bible does, that is, Having then gifts different according to the grace which is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. In other words, I don't need to come in here and make up stories for you guys. I need to be studying in my Bible. I need to be studying what some good preachers have said. I need to be listening to what they've got to say going on. And I need to do it according to what God has given me faith and knowledge to do, not trying to give you something somebody else has got. Now, I'm not talking about what Sunday school was or anything else like that. I appreciate that and I agree with that. But the thing is, I don't need to go listen to some sermon that somebody preached down at so-and-so Tuesday and then come in here and preach it back to you on Friday. I need to be getting what God gave me to give to you. I need to be going what God tells me to do with you. It says here, according to the portion of faith. And I'm hoping that y'all are praying for me to grow and grow and grow, and I'm also praying for you to grow and grow and grow. But it says here, and then, or ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. Everyone here has some type of ministry. And when it says wait on your ministry, that don't mean just sit back till somebody knocks you on the head and says, here, you're supposed to be doing this. No. God has already given you a ministry. You need to start working it out. You need to start trying some different things. Maybe you think you want to do this. You think you want to... You go try several things and all of a sudden God will wake you up and say, here's where I want you to be at. Here's where I want you to do at. This is the thing I have for you. But if you just sit there, well, I'm waiting on my ministry. Well, if you just sit there and wait on your ministry, guess where you'll be 30 years from now? Sitting there waiting on your ministry. That word wait don't mean just sit still. It means like a waiter. You're out being attentive to things. You're looking at things. You're checking out things. You're seeing if they need another glass of water. You're seeing if they want some salt and pepper. You're seeing if they need some ketchup. Waiting on your ministry doesn't mean just sitting here meditating and saying, Lord, show me my ministry. Well, maybe your ministry is to meditate. I don't know. Could be. And it says, or he that exhorteth. Now, I want some people like that in this church. Because believe me or not, I can get discouraged. You can get discouraged. We can start mully-grubbing around. But on him, or he, or she, whoever it may be, that exhorteth, on or exhortation. In other words, if God has made you a lifter-upper, get to lifting up. Get to saying, man, I like that. You did great. Or whatever. Man, you need to switch your tie this way or that way. It's okay. But lift me up. Lift the people in here up. Exhort those people. If they're doing something, tell them they're doing something. Be glad for them. Be glad for the ones who are out doing things. Because they're all doing things for the Lord. I mean, we had some ladies clean the building over there. Praise the Lord. Lift it up. Praise God for those folks. The ones that come cleans in the back. Praise God for those folks. Lift them up. God's helped them. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Man, this is not a job just to say, oh man, I had to go. No. Praise God you had a place to go. And praise God you did it. Everybody has a spot and a place and a thing to do. Nobody above or below the other one. Everybody necessary. Everything necessary in here. So those who exhort, those who lift up, let them do that exhortation. He that giveth. Man, did you hear what we had in tithes and offers this morning? Man, I said, whoa. Where'd that come from? I don't know, but praise God. But it says, he that giveth. Oh man, you know I made all this money and now I got to go give God some. No. Do it cheerfully. Just think. God allowed you to have some money. God allowed you to eat and sleep and drink and have all the things you need to do. And God says, I don't take a whole lot. But when you give, give cheerfully. Be cheerful about it. Man, I'm glad I could give this to the Lord. Because on that hand, I get to see, well, we got a printing business over there in Romania. Can you imagine how many books they're printing because of people who give money? You imagine that Dan Sullivan, Sonny's over there preaching the gospel to those folks over there, and because of somebody giving money to them, they're able to continue on preaching. Frank James is down the road there. We've just started giving back to him. We've been praying for him for a long time. Just think, with that little bit of money, he could continue to do things. The long boy. I say boy because he is a boy for me. I mean, he's probably, 30-something years old. Taking care of young men up there where he's at. People who are in orphanages or without fathers and mothers and stuff like that. Just a little bit alone keeps those things going on. He who giveth with Cheerfulness. Man, God is doing something with that stuff. It ain't just going in the pot here and nobody sees it. This stuff is coming in, yes, but it's also going back out. And if it don't go out, we're going to start talking about why it ain't going out. It's going to need to go out. Then it says, and do it with simplicity. Let him do it with simplicity. And he that ruleth with diligence. In other words, I need to be careful. If you want to call me a ruler or whatever. But whoever is ruling needs to be diligent, needs to be careful that they study these things, that they give you the truth of these things, not to bring you into subjection, not to bring you under some kind of authority, but to do it diligently, that you're getting what you need every week or every sermon or what's going on. It says, do it with diligence. And he that showeth mercy, which you're, I'll forgive you, brother, but you know, I'm not going. No. Showeth mercy with cheerfulness. In other words, as God has saved me, as God has showed mercy on me, Jesus was happy to do what he did for me. Amen. So therefore, if I'm going to show mercy on anybody else, well, you know, I really want to forgive them and I really want to be merciful, but you know, it's just griping my heart to do that. No. But that's the way we do sometimes. But to do it with cheerfulness, Lord, brother, it's okay. I forgive you. I'm showing mercy. I'm not going to pull you into the courthouse or whatever. I'm going to take that loss and I'm going to take it cheerfully, that a lesson may be learned here. And it says, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, I need to love each and every one of you equally the same, regardless of who you are. We got to be careful there. We've been studying about Jacob. He had special favorites. Then we studied about Isaac. He had a favorite. Then we studied about Rebecca. She had a favorite. We need to be away from the favorites. We need to love without dissimulation. We need to love each and every one the same way. It says, without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil. In other words, if there's anything bad going on, we hate it. Now some people say, well, you're supposed to love the sinner and hate the sin. It's hard to separate the sinner from the sin because the sinner is the one sinning. So if you're doing something that's totally against the Word of God, David said one place, I hate them that hate you. He was talking to God. Now we say, well, we don't do that. That's what the Bible said he did. If you were against God, if you hated God, he says, I hate them that hate you. That don't mean we're not praying. That don't mean we're not preaching. That don't mean we're not teaching that they might be saved. But while they're hating God, we don't fellowship up with them, buckle up with them and say, well, kumbaya, we all going to the same place anyway, right? No, we ain't. We're not. Hate them. I'll take that back. It says, love without dissimulation. Abhor that. Hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So if I'm hanging on to good, then I'm not dragging around all the bad. But I hate the bad. I don't want to get next to the bad. I don't want to hang around with the bad. But if that bad person's got some good stuff, I want to love that good part. But I don't want to get buddy-buddy with the bad part. I don't want to hang around. If they hate God, then I can't fellowship with them. I can preach to them. I can witness to them. But I can't go down to their barbecue and have a barbecue with them. It just ain't going to work. Can't be yoked up. Unequally yoked there. It says here, be kind, affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. I need to prefer my Christian brothers and sisters over others. In fact, believe it or not, you guys are my brothers, are my sisters, are my mama, are my daddy. I need to be preferring to be with you because, first of all, you believe the same things I believe. You believe the same thing about God I believe. Now, some of them, my other family may believe some things about God, but they don't necessarily believe exactly what I believe. Some of them are a little bit short about God being sovereign. They like Jesus. They think He came to save the whole world. But God needs our help. That's what they think. If you just let Him save you. I'm saying don't let Him save you. Just humble yourself to the power of God. Just humble yourself to the power of God and let God do it. Because He's going to do it anyways. It says here, love without dissimulation. Be kind, affectionate one to another. That would mean that I can't be grudgeful and angry and all those things at people that's in this church. I need to love them, be kind, affectionate to them, no matter where they're at on that scale we were looking at a while ago. Preferring one another. And then he starts getting really picky here. Not being slothful in business. In other words, we need to get up and go to work. We need to be the best workers in the workplace. Or at least try to be anyways. We need to be not slothful, not just dragging around, sitting at the water fountain, sitting at the coffee pot. We need to be about doing the business of wherever we're at. Not slothful in business. We need to be kind of picky about how we do business too, not trickery and stuff like that. We need to be upboard and honest. And it says, fervent in spirit. Boy, I think we lack on that sometime. People don't even know where we come from because we're too ashamed or too scared to say it right now. We need to be fervent in spirit. In other words, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's down at the other church. And serving the Lord. First of all, back to chapter 1, first one there, it says, serving the Lord. In other words, we should be ready and willing and able at any moment to see what we can do to serve the Lord. You say, serve the Lord, what do you mean? Well, if there's somebody needs something, somebody has a flat tire, in the name of Jesus, they need a glass of water, in the name of Jesus, if they're hungry, in the name of Jesus. Serving the Lord is about going about life and giving God credit for the things He brings in our life to do. Serving the Lord. Then he says, we'll never get through this today. Serving the Lord. And then he says, we may have to fix this up a little bit later. Anyways, kind affection one to another, with brotherly kindness, honoring and preferring one another. Be not slothful, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. We should be happy. We're blessed. Blessed means happy. We should be so ecstatic about where we're headed and where we're going and happy. And I guess ecstatic might be a little bit too powerful a word, but the thing is, we should not be, well, I'm on my way to heaven. Or, bless God, I'm all right today. And that sounds like, that's a good statement, bless God, I'm all right today, but if the tone that we use it could, well, bless God, I'm okay. Praise the Lord, I'm happy, I'm good. There's a difference in the way that came out. One of them says, I believe in God, I'm trusting in God, but, you know, I'm just... And the other one is, praise the Lord, I'm good. I'm on top of the grass. I'm still kicking, I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm able. Rejoicing. And then says here, weep with them that weep. If there's somebody hurting or whatever, we should be willing... Not to do a fake crying or anything like that, but we should be willing. If they're hurting, we're hurting. If they're in sorrow, we're in sorrow. It says here, weeping with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. In other words, I should be thinking all good things about you all. Y'all should be thinking all good things about me. We should be lifting each other up. See, be condescending. No, don't put nobody down. Don't push them down. Don't try to wear them out. Try to have good thoughts and helpful thoughts about it. Be not wise in your own conceit. In other words, I don't need to look at nobody and say, well, I got this all worked out and ain't there yet. No. Believe me, I have not got it all worked out. But if anybody who does have it worked out wants to go and edify me somewhere off someplace, I'll be glad to listen to you. You got a little bit more than I know, I'll be glad to hear it from you. Because like I say, I'm not all worked out. Then it says, recompense no evil to no man. No evil for evil. proving things honest in the sight of all men. In other words, we should be looking for what's right. Now, in the news and everything we've got today, it's kind of hard to figure out who's right and wrong because they spin these things so much. I have never heard one single one of those guys answer a question, yes or no. They will start out with, well, blah, 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 and they sound like they're fixed to get to that yes or no spot, and then they'll change the subject to somewhere else. Those guys have learned how to speak out of both sides of their mouth when we ought to have a yea and a nay. Did you go to town yesterday? Well, I was on my way, and then the car broke down, and then we had to go over. That's how the politicians talk. Yeah. Did you go to town yesterday? Yes or no? No, I didn't. It's easy. But those politicians can't do that. And that's why we ain't got a clue what either one of them's talking about, because none of them can say yea or nay. Yeah. Because if you say yea, then you're going to hurt this bunch's feelings. And if you say nay, you're going to hurt that bunch of feelings. Then you just lost all your votes. So if you can talk and twist that thing all up, nobody knew what you said, and they still all voting. Yeah. Man, no wonder I can't be a politician. Then it says, recompense no man evil for evil, provide things which is honest sight of God, if it is possible. I always stick on that verse, if it's possible. I do my very best. But there has been times where the possibility ran out. Yeah. Forgive me, Lord, but there has been times when you step on that last nerve and it's no longer possible. But it says here, if it be possible, as much as liveth in you, live peaceably with all men. I should strive to be at peace. I should do my very best to be at peace. I should never go at this thing trying to figure out how to be angry or mad at somebody. I should always, as much as possible. That gives me the ability that if something goes totally wrong, that I may not be possible, but on top of that, I should try my best. I should always want to. Then it says, dearly beloved, be careful here, folks, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. The government has been set up for vengeance. The government has been set up to take care of those things. So when we see these folks in different communities, and if you shoot one of them, then one of their brothers or sisters is going to shoot one of you, and then their brother or sister is going to shoot one of you. Instead of letting the government and the law do what they're set up to do, they let vengeance take over in their hearts. We need to be careful that we don't do that. We need to be careful that we don't do vengeance for vengeance. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. In other words, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, doesn't necessarily mean God's going to come down and do something. He has set up governments and principalities and powers to take care of these things. Now, He will eventually take care of this thing, but in the meantime, He has set up police. He has set up armies. He set up governmental agencies. Well, that's why we need to pray for them that we might live in peace. He set these things up to do business, to take care of us, so me and you don't have to go out and do something we ought not be doing because we get our feelings hurt or our business gets messed up. Then it says, I will pray, saith the Lord, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, and we have a trouble with that, I have trouble with it, if my enemy hunger, feed him. Boy, I know World War I, World War II stories where they'd be two different lines in the trenches fighting and everything else, and all of a sudden, on, say, Christmas Day or whatever, of course, that's what most people go with out there. We don't, but somebody over here starts singing a Christmas tune. Well, Christmas goes across a broad span of people groups, and the other group in the other trench starts singing one back. They couldn't sing the singers, but they knew the tunes, and they were both. And all of a sudden, for a few hours, those people were at peace with each other. They celebrated something bigger than themselves. But it says, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. You talk about get your enemy to change sides. Showing compassion on your enemy instead of trying to wear him out. It says, if he hunger, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. In other words, if you're being nice to your enemy doesn't change him, then what he's doing against you, God is going to really be looking at. It could heap coals of fire on his head. It's going to say that either your niceness, give him something to drink, give him something to eat, might bring him to a place where he would soften up and change his attitude. And if not, you've done your part to show kindness. You've done your part to show what you're supposed to do. And then that wrath of God thing will take over after that. A heap of coals will fall on their head. But be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we could get this root of bitterness going on. And when somebody does a little bit of something against us, we don't just get back. We don't just get even. We do a little bit more. That's where we mess up. That grows and festers into something ugly. We should not be trying to do, well, if he stepped on my toe, I'm going to step on his toe. No, that we go that way. I'm going to step on his foot, then I'm going to kick him in the leg, then whatever. But it says, be not overcome with evil. In other words, we need to learn how to forgive. We need to learn how to show mercy. We need to show how to do kindness. It says, if we let this evil overcome us, but it says, but overcome evil with good. And if we read Galatians, there's nothing, a law or anything against doing good. Hope, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, those things. There's no law against those things. But on the other hand, if you're being hateful and spiteful and malicious and envious and everything like that, there are laws against those things. So it says, be not overcome with evil. That means we've got to stay in our prayer closet and ask God to forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. It says, but overcome evil with good. If somebody's messing with you, be nice. Somebody's hurting your feelings, be nice. Be good. Don't try to be spiteful. Don't try to get back at them. Don't try to get the upper hand on them. You just keep being nice. Who knows what God might do with what you do? Now, if God has showed you your need to be saved or has saved you this morning, why don't you tell us? Why don't you let us know what God has done in your life, that God has set you on the rock, and we'll rejoice with you about what God has done. We'll be tickled to death because we want to see everybody in the family of God. Now, I understand God's going to do what He's going to do, but I want to see everybody time I preach, I want to see God save somebody. If I didn't, I need to quit preaching. Because I want God to save. I want God to deal. He's merciful. So if God has touched you or whatever in your life, show us, tell us what's going on that we might rejoice with you. Brother Keith?